Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
The greatest thing that we could have this year, and what God has given to us, is Himself. God is with us. But one of the great things that I've been reflecting over these last few weeks, you maybe filled in an online survey to help us with our Christmas service, to really sum up what Christmas is in a word, and there's quite a few words you could use, but one of the words that I would use is hope. And the hope that God gives us is far much greater than we deserve, but far much greater than anything we could ever expect. I believe that as believers, we should be the most hope-filled people in this world. We live in a time of such pessimism and skepticism. It's so easy to be a pessimist. You just believe everything is going to go wrong. The worst will always happen. You don't need any hope to be a pessimist. But we are the people of God, and we have a great hope. And God has given us this great hope. I really believe that as believers, we should be hope-filled. And I want to pray for you this day, that as you go into this Christmas season, you will have a hope-filled Christmas. Do you ever hear people say, "I don't want to get my hopes up"? Possibly because they're afraid that they will be disappointed. Possibly there's this disconnect between what they are expecting and what they are hoping for. But I love what Max Lucado writes. He says, "Hope is not what you'd expect. It's what you would never dream. It is wild, improbable tale with a pinch me, I'm dreaming ending. Hope is not a granted wish or a favor performed. No, it's far greater than that. It is a zany, unpredictable dependence on a God who loves to surprise us out of our socks and be there in the flesh to see our reaction." Has anyone ever been blown out of your socks by God? Totally amazed at His goodness, totally amazed at His faithfulness, totally amazed that, wow, that is so much more than I ever expected. In the Old Testament, Isaiah foresaw a dark situation for the people of God, which seemed to be hopeless. They would be exiled. They would be taken from their homeland, taken into a foreign land, surrounded in a culture that was different to theirs, worshiping idols that was not their God. It was a dark, dark time. All because of their disobedience to God, and they did not turn back to Him. The captives would long for a day when they would return to their home, where they would live according to their customs, and they would worship their God. They needed hope. Was there any hope for them? It seemed like a hopeless situation. It seemed like there was no way out. But ahead of time, Isaiah the prophet described the people of God as walking and living in darkness to describe their situation. Isaiah brings a message of hope to a hopeless people. Although the people of God had been unfaithful in their devotion, God remained faithful to the people of God. Isaiah 9, verse 2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. They will feel lost, with no purpose or direction, confused, dismayed, all the promises that God had given them, but they've ended up here in a foreign land. Everything would look the same in the darkness, but God gave them hope. God gave them a promise. Isaiah speaks into their situation ahead of time and tells them that although it seems hopeless, there is a great hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Now, that's a song that we wrote a few years back, but that is the essence of their plea and their hope at this time. Isaiah prophesied to them that there would be someone that would come and that would take them from their darkness, not just from a foreign land, but in the limitation of their spiritual experience. That someone will come, will fulfill all the prophecies. Someone will come who will be that great light. Someone will come who will be the light that no darkness can overcome. And his name is Jesus. Jesus is the gift of hope. Jesus is the great light in the darkness. And maybe you're here today and all you see is darkness. All you see is despair. All you see is doubt. All you see is sickness and pain and hurt. There is a great light today. He is the light of the world, and his name is Jesus. I think that's a good time to take a praise break and give thanks to the light of the world. You didn't seem too convinced there this morning. There is great hope today. Jesus is our hope. In the New Testament, Jesus begins his earthly ministry, and he quotes this part of Isaiah. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In that moment, Jesus took the hope that was for Israel and opened it up for all us here today. He made that declaration that that great light has dawned and that we have that amazing opportunity and privilege that that hope is for us today as well. Jesus is our hope. Hope is here. We have a blessed hope, Paul writes about. Our future is blessed. Come on, do you believe that this morning? Are you with me this morning? Is there anybody here this morning? Maybe I should just come and wake up a few people here today. Are we here? Our hope is here. Do you know our hope is here? Front row's got it. Second and third row, is your hope here today? A great light has came in the darkness. Hope is here. In that moment when Jesus came, it transformed our destinies. Transformed it. That 2,000 years later, we are here and we have hope. A great light has come. A thrill of hope. The really weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and golden dawn. Maybe you're here today and in this year, Christmas 2017, you need a thrill of hope. Or you need a new dawn. You need to be reminded of that blessed hope, which is not just for your future, but you have hope here today. Why? Emmanuel, God with us. No matter what you're going through today, no matter how hard it is, no matter how tough you feel, God is with us. In the 1960s, Noel Regney and Gloria Baker wrote this carol in the midst of the Cuban Missile Crisis. A plea for peace in uncertain times. I'm sure you'll know it. Do you hear what I hear? And there's that second or third stanza, which says, said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Should we sing it this morning? Should I sing it this morning? Would anyone like me to sing it this morning? Well, if you come back tonight to the Nativity, I may sing that for you. Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Earlier this year, I read a book, and it really challenged me because it was talking about how the difference between reading your Bible and listening to your Bible. The Bible is the spoken word of God. Yep, it's the word of God. In fact, the earliest parts of the Bible would have been passed on, spoken tradition. It would have been passed on. God is speaking. And there's a difference when you just read something, when you listen to something. I know, I don't know you, but I read my devotions every single morning, and there's times I know, and I'm being honest, I've just read that. I haven't listened to what it's saying. Do you hear what I hear? See, what do you hear today? Maybe all you hear is doubt, despair, challenge, difficulty. But do you hear the sound of hope today? Hope has a sound. Hope has an anthem. Emmanuel, God with us. Can you hear it? We're not listening just for sleigh bells this Christmas. We're listening for the hope. The hope that has came to us. God is with us. God has given us his presence and amazing promises. But maybe all we hear today are the problems. Maybe all you're thinking about today is what you've still got to do. That presents that need to be finished, those cards that need to be written and sent out, those party frocks that need to be looked out, all these things that still need to be done. But can you hear the voice of hope today? Emmanuel, God is with us. I love the Christmas story, and it can become so familiar to us. We all know the ending, we all know what happens, but what I've found over these past few years is that every year there's a different aspect of the nativity story that really resonates with me. Because there are so many different facets here, and I love that we've got a couple of different accounts in the Gospels that just highlight different elements of it. And you are in a place today which is different to where I'm at. You find yourself in a situation which is unique to you. And I want to encourage you, just as we go through a couple of things here this morning that maybe you can relate to, or maybe it doesn't relate to you, but there's something else, but I want to encourage you, go to the Christmas story again and just consider the human element of it all. These are real people. Real people. Could you imagine giving birth in a stable? Can you imagine in desperation knocking on a door hoping that you will receive a welcome and being rejected? Can you imagine fleeing for your life when the king put out a decree to kill every young boy? Can you imagine what it must have been like at this time? I wonder, what did the main characters in the nativity story hear? I wonder, amongst all the noise that they had to contend with, could they hear the sound of hope? You see, hope is shouting all the time. Hope is trying to get our attention all the time. First of all, the people of Israel found themselves in a place of despair. Despair means the complete loss or absence of hope. Maybe you are here today and you feel that you are hopeless. You feel that whatever you found yourself in, there's no way out of this. It's totally hopeless. You know, 700 years passed between Isaiah prophesying that the people in darkness will see a great light, that a virgin will conceive a child, and it will be Emmanuel, God with us. 700 years passed. Can you imagine a wait of 700 years? Maybe you are finding yourself in that place of waiting. You've got to the end of 2017, and there were things that you just thought, maybe we would have conquered that by now. Maybe that situation would have been resolved by now. 700 years between Isaiah prophesying and the fulfillment of that prophecy. 700 years is a long time. And for those that do not accept Jesus as the Messiah, almost 3,000 years is a very, very long time. But Paul tells us that at the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman under the law, and his name is Jesus. There's hope today. Even if you find yourself in a place of despair, there's hope. Even if you have been waiting a long time, there is hope. Hope is always with us. Why? Because God is with us. As long as God is with you, as long as God is on your side, you've got hope. As long as God is with you, you've got hope. And maybe you find yourself in a place of despair. I want to bring a word of encouragement to you today. There is hope. Even though it appears like it's dark, even though it appears like it's hopeless, there is a great hope for you today. Or maybe you find yourself in a place of feeling, a place of uncertainty, a place of doubt. Hope is a feeling of trust. But maybe you feel that you're in a place of doubt this year. Let's consider Mary. Mary has this visitation from an angel. It says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And what does Mary say in response? How will this be? Maybe you find yourself right now asking this question. This is just the soundtrack that's going on in your mind. How is this going to work? How is this going to work? This makes no sense at all. Or maybe you find yourself in that place where I've got no ideas. I am totally out. I've got no ideas left. I've thought of everything. How is this going to be? Maybe all you hear is, "I doubt it." Maybe all you say is, "Well, let's just wait and see." Mary asks that question, I think she's quite entitled to. She needed a little bit more information. And she's told how this will happen, this incredible miracle, this conception of the incarnation. And the angel follows it up by saying this, "For no word from God will ever fail." If God said it, so it will be. God is not like me and you, not human, that he should lie. God, if he said it, so it shall be. And this instance and this moment where the angel comes and makes this great declaration, she follows it up with this incredible promise, which God has proven over and over and over again. No word from God will ever fail. Do you hear doubt today? Maybe you hear actually doubt about what God has said to you. Things, "I thought, God, you're going to come through for me here. I thought you said, no word from God will ever fail." You can have hope today because God is with you even in your doubt. Even in those questions that you've yet to have answers for, God's with you. He understands. He knows. He knows a lot more than I do. He sees the end from the beginning, and we can trust him today because he's with us. Or maybe you find yourself in a dilemma, a difficult choice to be made in a difficult situation. Somebody who I have felt for this year has been our Prime Minister, Theresa May. I feel she has went from dilemma to dilemma to dilemma. Such, I suppose, is the responsibility of leadership. She's had some big calls that she's had to make. Do I sack Boris or do I keep him? Do we give up this? Do we concede here? Do we go for it? Do we all these things? And I don't know about you, but that picture this week, that early morning flight to Brussels to sign that first easy bit of negotiation, maybe you can just see the relief that is on her face this week. Difficult choices to be made in a difficult situation. Joseph had a great dilemma. Now, I've got sympathy for Joseph because this is really his shining moment. We don't hear much about Joseph in the Gospels after this. Not much at all. This is Joseph's time. And he, of course, has this incredible message which he is told that he is going to have to, you know, still take her to be his wife. But before that, it seemed like he had two options. Well, what do you do here? And this is not going to wash. This is not going to wash. Nobody's going to believe us. What was his two options? Divorce her, break off the engagement secretly so that we don't shame her or embarrass her or de-out her. De-out, let everybody know what's happened here. You know, the truth is, the punishment for this would have been stoning. Do I just break it off quietly? Or do we do the other option? But the angel says this to him. But after he considered this, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God gave him a third option. Marry her. Don't break it off. Don't shame her. Marry her. Is there anybody here today and you need a third option? You need a third option. You're facing something and it seems it's either or. But you need a third option. God could send a star to lead the wise men to Jesus. God could send an angel to speak to Joseph, to give him the encouragement that he needed to fulfill his duty. Maybe you need a third option today. Maybe for you today, you need some direction. You need guidance. You literally need that star, which will take you to where you need to be. I want to encourage you to go to the Bible. Why do I say that? Bible is our star. It's the light unto my feet. It's the lamp unto my path. But also I want to encourage you to cultivate that amazing truth, God with us, the Holy Spirit resides within you. And the Holy Spirit is your guide. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces you. Convicts us when we've done things that we know that we should not have done. But also convinces us at times when we've got a decision to make here. And that peace can fill your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I guarantee you, for Joseph, this began as one of the most terrifying moments of his life when he's confronted by an angel. But by the end of it, I bet he knew exactly what he was going to do. Peace would have filled his heart. Maybe you need a third option today. Maybe you need that third option because you are in a dilemma. You are in a difficult situation and you've got a difficult choice to make. But then finally, maybe you're in a place of drama. These last few Christmases, we've had drama pretty much every single year in the sense of health issues with our fathers. This time last year, Alec wasn't too well and Dad had just broken his ankle. And years previous to that, they'd moved home and there was health issues with Dad again. And it just seemed that every single Christmas, something seemed to happen in the run-up to Christmas. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you've actually said this year, I really hope we get through Christmas without any drama at all. Hope everybody gets on. Hope there's no fallouts. Hope that we manage to get everything done in time. Hope nothing goes... Come on, let's be real here. Am I the only person that has thought about this week that some people might be thinking like this? My prayer is that we have a hope-filled Christmas, not a drama-filled Christmas. But the first Christmas, well, that was dramatic. In fact, you could say it was traumatic. Can you imagine what it must have been like traveling to Bethlehem on a donkey? If Joseph knew that Mary was going to give birth so soon, you think he would have left a bit sooner and made sure he had plenty of time to make sure he had somewhere for them to stay? But there's not only that journey, there's the trauma, or trauma at best, of giving birth in a stable. Horrific at worst. No NHS. No one there to give them moral support and encourage them through. But it's probably the most dramatic time of their lives. But all of Bethlehem is still. You know, you could be going through great drama today, and no one in this room will know. Nobody knows the battle that you are fighting. Nobody knows the circumstance you find yourself in today. Everything seems fine. No one would second guess. Mary and Joseph are going through a dramatic time in their life, and nobody even seems to know. It took a host of heaven's angels to get the attention of some shepherds to come and to see Jesus. Maybe you find yourself today going through a time of drama. God is with you. He's with you in the despair. He's with you in the doubt. He's with you in the dilemma. And he's with you in the drama as well. Now I pray that you don't have a drama-filled Christmas. I pray that you will have a hope-filled Christmas. But God will be with us. God will be with us in every single part of our lives, in every moment, in every challenge, in every circumstance. God will be with us. Do you hear the sound of hope? Angels fill the sky, and angels say, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David has been born to you the Messiah. Jesus is born. He is the Lord." Do you hear the sound of hope today? I don't know about you, but there's just something about this name, Emmanuel. There's something when I say it, Emmanuel, something stirs within me. Jesus is the same. I know it's because there's a personal connection with him, but Jesus. Jesus. It doesn't matter how I say it, there's just something about that name. And I guess it's when you call on his name, it stirs up something. It awakens that spirit that is within you because it's him. You call on his name. I want to encourage you as we go through Christmas, let Jesus be on your lips so often. So often. Can you hear the sound of hope? The Elizabeth Tower is one of the most iconic buildings in our country. Every time I go to London, I always make an effort to try to get to Westminster Bridge or Parliament Square and try to get a photo of the Elizabeth Tower. The Elizabeth Tower is obviously where Big Ben is kept. Big Ben is that bell at the top of the Elizabeth Tower, which weighs 13.5 tons, and it can be heard from 5 miles away. But over these last few years, the Elizabeth Tower has continued to deteriorate, and it's gotten to the point where it now needs to be restored. You can probably see from the picture that there's scaffolding being put up all around the tower. Paint is flaking off and the water's coming in, and essential maintenance needs to be done. And it was earlier this year that the Big Ben chimed for the last time on a regular basis. Now it's only going to be chimed for these next few years on special occasions like Remembrance Sunday or on New Year's Eve. The bell has fallen silent. And I heard recently of an Austrian man who was a bell founder, and this is the most famous bell in the world. And he went on a pilgrimage to London because he wanted to see Big Ben. And the man who owns the Whitechapel Foundry where Big Ben was created took him up the Elizabeth Tower to see Big Ben. And as they are standing there in the chamber, just at the 12th hour, Big Ben begins to chime. And in that moment, this Austrian man begins to cry. And tears begin to stream down his face as the chime echoes all around him and out into London City. And the man with him asks him, why are you so upset? Why are you so emotional? Is everything okay? And he says, "You've got absolutely no idea what this means to me being here today." He goes on to explain that when he was a child, him and his father would go down in a basement where they could not be detected, and they would tune in their transmitter radio to the BBC World Service broadcasting from London. And they would wait patiently to hear the chime of Big Ben. And he said, if we could hear the sound of Big Ben, we knew there was still hope. We knew there was still some hope. Maybe you're here today, and I want to ask you, can you hear the sound of hope? Big Ben has fallen silent, but God will never fall silent. There is a declaration of hope today that God is with us. God is with us. Not was with us, not maybe will be with us. God is with us. And wherever you find yourself today, God is with you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as the band comes. I want to pray for us here today, because maybe you don't relate to any of those four scenes that I pictured to you today, but I'll tell you something, we all need hope. We live in a world where it seems to be hopeless, so much challenge, so much things coming against us, but we need hope. Paul writes these words, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we come to you this morning, the God of all hope. And Lord, I pray for every believer here today that you will fill their hearts with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for every dilemma, or every person that's in despair or in doubt, or maybe is fearful of drama or situation they're going through today. Father, I pray that hope would fill their hearts right now. Lord, I pray that in this Christmas season, in this moment, that Lord, we will not listen to the voices of negativity, of fearfulness, of despair and doubt, but we will trust in you, in your promises, in the promise of your presence always being with us. Father, I pray for every person to have a hope-filled Christmas. Lord, I pray for situations that seem to be hopeless. Lord, whether it's in their family life or in their finances, in their health, in their career. Lord, I pray for people who need guidance and direction. Whatever it may be today, you know their need because you're with them. And Lord, we know your promise and we will stand on that promise that whatever we go into in 2018, you will be with us and we will trust in you at all times. So Father, I pray that you will send deliverance, that you will send breakthrough, that you will send healing, that you will send restoration to these people today, because you're a God who restores, delivers, and heals. You're the God of all hope. But just in this moment, as each head is bowed, I wonder today if you know in yourself that you are hopeless. Maybe like that child in that basement, you've been trying to tune in that transmitter radio and you've tuned into the wrong channel. You've looked to things that you thought there would be hope in, or satisfaction or fulfillment. You looked for that relationship you thought would meet every need. You looked to that substance which you thought would quench that desire. You've looked to money. You've looked to success. You've looked to career. And you've thought, if I can get all this together, then everything will be fine. But you've no hope. Jesus is here this morning and he wants to reconnect with you. He wants to know you in a real way. He comes with the greatest gift of all time to give to you, and that's himself. I wonder if you're here today and you know in your heart that you're not connected. You don't have that relationship with Jesus. In fact, you don't have that hope. You know you don't have that hope. You're in despair. You're doubtful. Well, I want to encourage you today. This is your day. This is your day to receive this gift of hope, the gift of Jesus. So as you're here this morning and you say, yes, Daniel, that's me. I want to receive that gift. I want to receive Jesus. I want to connect with him today. Can you help me? And then we'll all help each other in praying today by just lifting your hand, and I'll see it, and I'll lead you in a prayer. Come on, if that's you, If that's you today, just raise your hand. I'm looking all around our auditorium, on our ground floor. I'm looking in our balcony today. You're here and you say, Daniel, I want to receive that. It's me. Just raise your hand. Father, I thank you for Jesus. That indescribable gift that you gave to us because you loved us so much. Lord, I pray that for each of us here, that each of us will receive that gift if we have not yet this Christmas time. Lord, we worship you today in this place. We thank you that you are the God of all hope. In Jesus' name.